Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. We're recording.
Okay.
I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad God's here.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
With us. So. Good. Yay. And welcome to all you out there in the, what is that?
Cyber world.
Okay. So, we're going to go through, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures again like I did before.
Awesome.
And so, you can, you know, if you want to refer back to them, write them down so you can go back to them, follow along. Or just listen. But I'm going to talk about Jesus being the light of the world and what the scriptures say about that, what he says about himself, what happens with his light, and then how we are called to be light to the world. Just one thing, it was really neat. I was talking to my husband this morning, and he said, he mentioned how when the sun comes up,
Twilight.
I think it's twilight dawn. When the sun is just,
it's,
but I'm not.
Dawn's at
dawn.
The end.
Dawn is it? Oh, it is dawn. It is dawn.
Twilight's at the end.
Okay, so the dawn, when the sun is just coming up over the mountains, and the light just starts peeking over the mountains, and it hits different parts, and then as it comes up more of the earth is covered in light, and as it comes up more is covered in light, that it's progressive. And I think that's one thing to keep in mind as we're reading these scriptures is that our lives with God and how his light touches our lives is progressive. And it's not just a one-time done. And though there are certain points in our life that are extremely impactful, but it is progressive through our life. So interesting, in Genesis, the first word that God spoke was, "Let there be light." And why do we need light? What does light do?
Helps us see.
Helps us see.
Keeps our plants alive for oxygen.
Hmm?
Keeps our plants alive for oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would we need light if there was no darkness? If you walk into a dark room, you say, "Turn on the light." Why do you want the light turned on? So you can see what's there. So you can move around the room without hurting yourself.
Stumble around.
Mm-hmm. So you can appreciate what's in the room. Okay. So John, I'm going to go to John chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. I am going to get my glasses on. Or I might read something really weird that's not there. John 1, 4 through 9. And primarily I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. And when I don't, I'll tell you. But so this is from the Passion Translation. And, okay. Life came into being because of him. So this is John, the Gospel of John, first chapter, verse 4 through verse 9. So this is speaking about Jesus. Life came into being because of him. For his life is light for all humanity. And this living expression is the light that bursts through the gloom. Just like when that sun comes up over the mountains, that light bursts through the darkness. The light that darkness could not diminish. And I want you to think about that. In a dark room, what wins, the darkness or when the light is turned on?
Light.
The darkness cannot push the light out. It's the light. So, then suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John. For he came to be a witness, to point the way to the light of life, and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the light of truth was about to come into the world and shine upon everyone. So God's light shines upon everyone. Okay. All right. I'm going to go to John chapter 8, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking.
Where is it again?
John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus said, I am light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. Now go to the next chapter, John chapter 9. And this is a demonstration of that light that Jesus brings to the world and to each one of us. But this is, he demonstrates what he came to do in this chapter. So, John chapter 9, verse 1 says, Afterward, as Jesus walked down the street, he noticed a man blind from birth. Okay. And now we're going to go to verse 5. The disciples asked, why is this man born blind? Because the thought was, if someone was born blind during those days, that it was a curse on them. Something, maybe their parents had sinned or they had sinned, and that's why he was born blind. But Jesus says in verse 5, as long as I am with you, my life is the light that pierces the world's darkness. Then Jesus spat on the ground and made some clay with his saliva. Then he anointed the blind man's eyes with the clay, and he said to the blind man, now go and wash the clay from your eyes in the ritual pool of Siloam. So he went and washed his face, and as he came back, he could see for the first time in his life. And there's also a footnote here, also thinking about everything Jesus does is because of his love for us. And it says, no doubt, this is a little footnote, but no doubt the blind man had heard people spit as they walked by him many times as a sign of disgust. For in that day they believed blindness was caused by a curse. But this day, as he heard Jesus spit on the ground, it was for his healing. So,
it's kind of the way that they would, like, I mean, we show disgust that way too, you know. You spit in somebody's direction, it's pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty insulting, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool that, like, he hears that, and God's, like, saying, listen up, I'm gonna...
Yeah.
Not an insult, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I love that. So Jesus, because of his love, he brought light to his darkness, this man's darkness. For the first time in his life, he was able to see. And Jesus does that for us. Really, when we come to Jesus, we really, truly see for the first time in our lives. It's a spiritual seeing. I mean, we may not be blind, but we are blind inside. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the eyes, caused darkness to blind eyes. Jesus came to pierce through that darkness and to remove it. And he does. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is the English Standard Version. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Deep darkness, a light has shone. When Jesus came into the world, he brought light. And I love the analogy of just turning on a light in a dark room, but also the analogy of a flashlight. Because when you take a flashlight into a dark room or it's dark outside, and well, this is one part of this flashlight. I mean, if it were dark, that would reveal a lot in a dark room. Light overcomes darkness every time. And even that, I mean, you know, you walk in with that in a dark room and it illuminates everything so you can see clearly. And that's what Jesus does for us. We can see clearly. We can see clearly. We can make decisions. All right. Psalm 27:1. And this is from the Passion again. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my revelation light to guide me along the way. He's the source of my salvation to defend me every day. Now go to Luke. This is about a man whose name is Simeon. And see, it is Luke chapter 2, verse 29 through 32. In verse 25 it says that he was a very good man, a lover of God. A spirit of holiness rested upon him. He believed in the imminent appearing of the one called the refreshing of Israel. And this is what they brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated. I believe he was 10 days old. And to dedicate him. And when Simeon held Jesus, says Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied, saying, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content. For your promise to me has been fulfilled. With my own eyes, I have seen your word. The promise to Simeon personal promise to him was that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. So, with my own eyes, I have seen your word, the Savior you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people, Israel, and the revelation light for all people everywhere. Revelation light. Okay. Now just thinking of light, what we need light for, to dispel darkness. And think about, I'm sure we've all had this experience of at night, laying in bed, and we have worries and concerns and troubles, and it's dark, right? And it's in that darkness our fears have a tendency to multiply. Things look worse. Our failings become exaggerated. Our challenges seem insurmountable. And there are even times when we find ourselves wanting to hide from God. And maybe that's because of darkness that we have chosen to be in, that we have been redeemed from, but we've chosen to be in, and thinking, you know, wanting to hide from God. And go to Psalm 139. This is the wonderful chapter about how he made us and how precious we are to him. And verse 11 and 12. Chapter 39, verse 11 and 12. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me. So this person is speaking to God. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. So he has overcome the darkness for all of us. And he doesn't want us to run away from him, but he wants us to run to him, right? To run to him. And it's like that light when you go in a dark room and you can see. He's the one that brings us truth and understanding and revelation. And then I was thinking about darkness and the ultimate fear, because there is fear in darkness. I think the ultimate fear for most people is that fear of death. It's fear of the unknown. Fear of being separated from loved ones. Fear of what happens when we leave our body, you know? And even in that, Jesus conquered death. He conquered that fear. In 1 Corinthians 15, page two. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55. And this part of this is a quote from Hosea in the Old Testament. Says, and when that which is mortal puts on immortality. Okay, so Jesus on the cross conquered our sins. And the what's the word? He took the penalty for our sins. He conquered their ability to defeat us in our lives. So he took our sins on the cross. And in his death on the cross, he conquered that. And then he rose from the dead, rose from the grave, and rose to life. He conquered death for us. He conquered our sins. He conquered death for us. And so now it says, when that which is mortal puts on immortality, Jesus got an immortal body. And when we die, we will rise from the dead with an immortal body, just like he did. Says, and what now decays our body is exchanged for what will never decay. And then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up by a triumphant victory. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? He destroyed the power of death for us. It's really a complete redemption in every way, is what he did. Complete redemption. Isaiah 25, verse 8, and this is in the English Standard Version, says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. And then in Isaiah 60, verse 19 and 20, talks about heaven. Verse 19 and 20 says, the sun shall be no more your light by day. We won't need the sun. Nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. So he is our light here, and he's our light in heaven. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. He's a light here. He conquered death, and he's our light there in our forever home. Revelation 21. Says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The city has no need for the sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The people will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their wealth into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, standing always open, because there is no night there. People will bring the glory and wealth of the nations into it. Evil will not enter, nor anyone who does what is abhorrent or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb. So that's our forever home. So how do we live in the light here? 1 John 1, 5 through 7.
First John
chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. That's part of darkness, is broken fellowship. And the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So sharing life with him, living in his pure light. And first him being our Savior, and spending time with him as a dear friend. Spending time with him. Yeah, absolutely.
It says that eternal life is knowing God.
Yeah.
It equates the two. So sometimes we think about eternal life as coming after our death. Jesus talks about it as starting now.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Eternal life is knowing God. Jesus talks about that.
Yeah.
And him being the light, it's just funny, you're reading, because when you told me a little bit what we were going to talk about a couple days ago when we talked, I was asking, like, what songs do you want me to play?
Yeah.
And in John 3:16, it talks about, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life, right? It's a beautiful verse. And you go a few later, and it talks about the light. And it's funny how First John is really expounding on something. Like he continued to get revelation about it and kept sharing it with the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that that Jesus is, knowing Jesus is eternal life,
mm-hmm.
And it's, he's so inclusive. He's like, so that all would come to him, right? But there's a thing where people try to hide. That's the thing of, like, when it talks about, I'm sorry. Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
and
go
this
for
is
it.
The thing, I wanted to connect it with 1 John.
Yeah.
It says, and this is the judgment. It says that the light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because what they did was evil, right? I don't want to be seen because I can't do what I'm doing if I'm seen, right? When people rob people, they do it in darkness, right? When you do things you shouldn't do, you do it behind closed doors and in secrecy, right?
Yeah.
And what it says is those, but he that loves the truth comes into the light, that his deeds, his actions may be made manifest that they are brought about in God. In other words, stepping out in the truth. It can feel like a really, like, almost daunting task. Like, how do I get to there if I'm here? And Jesus is just like, just walk out in the light with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't want to shame any of us.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to walk in light with us and in truth with us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's like we complicated so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as if we're trying to hide things,
mm-hmm.
let's allow God to expose them between us, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that we have a choice.
Yeah.
We have a choice.
Yeah.
He took the power of darkness.
Yeah.
And we have a choice now.
Yeah.
And we can choose to walk in the light. And walk with Jesus. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. Good. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7 says, for God who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, the first words he said in the Bible, is the one who has cascaded his light into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. as we really spend time, and we've talked a lot about that, spending time with God, you know, resting in that. And but I love that. As we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ, spending time with Jesus. In Psalm 119, says, your word. Okay, so thinking about spending time. I mean, so many ways we spend time with Jesus. You know, when you're up hiking and you're just appreciating his beautiful creation, you are spending time with him. You are looking into his face. When you're praying, worshiping him, reading a great book that reminds you of things, and just, I mean, do you find yourself doing that? I read and I'm just reading, and it just, I think of different things that he showed me, or, oh, and I'm just talking to him as I'm reading. Or when we're spending time in the Word, you know, that is gazing into his face. That is light. And the Psalm 119, 105 says, your word, and that's interesting. Jesus is called the Word of God. And this is the embodiment. This is the Word of God, the Bible. And it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He helps us in every choice, every decision we need to make, every struggle we're having. He is there to help us and give us strength. Psalm 73:24. You lead me with your secret wisdom. And following you brings me into your brightness and glory. Light, light, light. Okay, so I'm going to go back now to Exodus. And if you know the story about Moses, okay, I know I talked about this, brought it up 1 week, but anyway, when... the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, and Moses, God sent Moses to deliver them, and they crossed over the Red Sea, and God was leading them to the Promised Land, but they were grumbling and complaining. They were not ready to appreciate the Promised Land, so God had them wander for 40 years before entering into the Promised Land. And during that time, I mean, God was with them every step of the way. And God would speak to Moses. Moses would go into, they would set a tent up. It was like, they called it the temple. And Moses would go in, and he would talk with God, and he'd come back and tell the people what God said. But God had Moses climb up on a mountain called Mount Moriah, Mount Sinai, Mount, what is it?
Sinai? I mean, there
wasn't. I wrote it down. Well, I've got Mount Sinai, not Moriah. That's another one, but Mount Sinai. And Moses went up there and he got two stone tablets with God's laws written on them. We call them the Ten Commandments. And he was up on top of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And during that time, the people just lost their way, totally lost their way. Thought Moses wasn't coming back, to the point where they made a golden calf to worship. So Moses comes down from the mountain with these tablets that God had given them for the people, and saw what they were doing, and Moses got so angry, and he threw the tablets down and broke them. So then God had to deal with Moses because he got angry and broke the tablets. Anyway, second trip up the mountain, Moses does it again. And this time God said, bring two tablets with you. I thought that was pretty interesting. You bring the tablets, I'll write on them. So Moses brought the tablets up there, and God again wrote his laws on the tablets for the people. And so we're going to pick up in Exodus 34, and again, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, but Exodus 34, verse 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the elders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, when he went into the tent, place of the temple that they had, to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. So Moses' face, when he came down off the mountain, reflected God's light. And okay, so he was in the presence of God, and he reflected God's light. And as we sit in God's presence and spend time with him, we also reflect God's life with our lives, his light in the world. Now, there is in Matthew 17:1-5, Jesus also shines. And this is called the Transfiguration. Matthew 17:1-5. So 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and hiked up a high mountain to be alone. Then Jesus' appearance was dramatically altered. A radiant light, as bright as the sun, poured from his face, and his clothing became luminescent, dazzling like lightning. He was transfigured before their very eyes. And this is really cool. It says, then suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared, and they spoke with Jesus. Peter was speaking, and then it says, a radiant cloud composed of light spread over them and enveloped them all. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud, saying, this is my dearly loved Son, the constant focus of my delight. Listen to him. When Moses came down from the mountain and his face was shining, I mean, the people were just like, God was saying, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to what he tells you. And God says about Jesus, listen to him. Listen to what he's telling you. Second Corinthians 3:18.
Second Corinthians what?
Second Corinthians 3:18 says we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. Talked about Moses putting the veil on his face. With the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transfigured. There's a place that says we're... we are being transformed. It is a process. It is a process. It takes time. But we are... as we're being transformed. But it talks about we are to be a reflection of his light here on earth. We give our lives to Jesus. We spend time with him. We grow in him. And the more we spend time with him, the more we reflect his light. We are to be light bearers. We are to be his hands expressing his heart. We are to roll back the darkness with the light of his presence in us. It's a huge responsibility, but what an honor to carry his light. What an honor to carry his light and to be his light here. And let's read 1 Peter 2:9. We spend time with him. He does the work in us. And it's important for us to know that. He does that work in us. He transforms us inside. And he makes us to be those lights that shine. Okay, 1 Peter. Oh, I mean 2nd. I thought that was right. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are God's Trojan.
Trojan.
I can't say it the other way. But you are God's chosen treasure. Do you ever do that? But you are God's chosen treasure. Priests who are kings. A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. I love that. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. He called us. He claims us. He fills us, and then he pours out of us his love and his light into the world. And this world needs it so badly. one last scripture, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and this is Jesus speaking.
Matthew what?
Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. Okay. All right. Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance, for how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? That doesn't mean keep people far away from you so they're only seeing you from a distance. But it's how bright our light should be shining. And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. Shine our light. So, just a thought. Just if anyone wants to share where you have, well, different thoughts, where you've seen God's light in your life, instances where He has broken through. And, you know, sometimes that is through a friend. I've had that happen with me where I believed in God. I loved God. But there was an area of my life where I was doing my own thing. I was just keeping that part away from God. And... had to do with a relationship. And God said, well, through my friend came to me and said, if you love God, then you're going to have to make a choice there. Jesus was my Savior, but in that part of my life, I really had not made Him Lord. And I believe there's times when we are ready to hear that in different areas of our life. You know, that God has been working on that. And you know when you're ready, and you know when God's spoken to you. And I knew at that moment that was God speaking to me. And really, it gave me just the power to change and to make a different choice. And it was very freeing. So, but God breaks through our darkness in many ways. So anyway, if any of you want to share that, or... how you have seen in your life God's light shining through you. To a friend. Just think about that. Time that God's broken through.